Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, Intruder Alert. HQ 3, Intruder Alert.
Thank you, Mr. Sulu. And people tell me you can't get good help anymore. They haven't heard my doorman. Oh, so welcome once again to Madam Perry's Salon, folks. I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry, to the mods, Jennifer Maudette, and to certain neo-noir authors, I'm J-Mod. But I am happy to have you here. The show has been so much fun. So many more people are listening and subscribing, and we have gotten the most fascinating guest. I just feel so, like am I the luckiest girl or what? The guests I've had, people who have been so generous to spend their time to be on Madam Perry's Salon, like tonight, are just incredible. Like last month, we had a true crime author, Diane Diamond, talking about her book. We both talked about her book, Be Careful Who You Love, about when she covered the Michael Jackson trials. And Julian Acosta, who's a rocker out of Austin, Texas. So much fun. Kenneth W. Kane, horror writer, was on to talk about his book, Embers. And really enjoyed him. Also, we had Rudy Sarzo from Quiet Riot, Blizzard of Oz, and a few other bands. And he's talking about his book, Off the Rails. And get that if you can. It's about his year touring with Ozzy and when his friend Randy Rhoads, a guitar player, died in the plane crash. Randy and his wife are also very active animal rights activist, and they're just fantastic people. Also, we had Kazem Sultan. I must have a thing about the bass players. We had Kazem Sultan on, who's on tour right now with Todd Rundgren. I'm going to see them in a couple of weeks. He's been with them since Utopia, but also plays with Joan Jett, Blue Oyster Cult, just Hall & Oates, just about everybody. He was musical director for a while for Meat Loaf. So Chasm's he's got a new CD out called Bootleg. So grab a hold of that, and if you, Todd's coming to your town, go see them. It's going to be a great show. Also coming up soon, we're going to have M. William Phelps. He's also a true crime writer, like Diane Diamond, and you see him a lot on Investigation Discovery TV, stuff like that. Bobby Rebel is on next Tuesday. She's a financial expert talking. You see her a lot on it. What, MSNBC or CNN or shows like that talking about financial responsibility. And she's got a book. I met her last year. She put out her new book called How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. She's going to be here on Tuesday. And then the next Thursday, Athena Bass, she's a drummer. She's on this TV show. What is this called? I'm not real good with reality show names. A TV show called Rockstar Ex-Wives. And she used to be married to, I can't remember how to pronounce the guy's name, James Caddick, I think, in the Scorpions or Warrant. But she is the younger sister, and all of her information emphasizes she's the younger sister of Tommy Lee. And Athena's fun. I can't wait to have her on, too. Tonight. I am so psyched. Tonight's guests are so popular and so busy. I think we took about 2 years to negotiate with their management to get them on the show, something like that. But these people never quit working, never quit touring. And I am so thrilled to have here tonight in Madam Perry's Salon, Frenchie and the Punk. Guys, welcome to Madam Perry's Salon. Come on in.
Hello, thank you. Hi, guys.
Just come on in for the night. Well, we're happy to have you. I hope the place is comfortable. Just come in, find you a nice cushion. I don't know if you haven't been in the genie bottle before, so just come find a nice fluffy cushion. a few other guests, authors, and musicians might have left a few things here, but I try to keep it clean.
Cool.
And you never know
That's
who
awesome.
Will drop in. Okay, so
very nice.
So get comfy. Thank you. Thank you. Do what I can, brother. I do what I can. So, Frenchie and the Punk. This is Samantha and Scott. I am so thrilled to have you here. You guys were just at a big convention last weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, we just did the Steampunk World Fair in Piscataway, New Jersey.
And how was that?
That's an amazing event. It is one of the biggest steampunk events in the world. And it's great. Yeah, there's tons of bands and tons of great vendors, and it's really cool, you know, art and music and steampunk culture event. It's great.
You know, being superstars in a steampunk realm and having so many fans, and I know your music, you guys are quite talented. I know you cover several different musical genres, whatever. You guys can do everything. But have you been surprised at how the steampunk, I mean, you think about a steampunk world fair and all the different cons and fairs that go on all the time in the different groups. I mean, I've heard back from steampunk groups in Belgium, in Sweden, all over, you know, about you coming here tonight and saying they were looking forward to listening. Have you been surprised at how the steampunk world, the whole phenomena just exploded? And maybe the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, it's really grown. I mean, we've been a part of it, I think, since 2009. And basically, we were just kind of doing our thing, and we were embraced by the steampunk community. Actually, we were told, it was Jeff Mack that had said to us, oh, you guys would be great for steampunk. And we actually basically were like, oh, what's steampunk, right? and it just kind of snowballed from there. We started doing some shows, and like I said before, we're just totally embraced by the community, and it's been an amazing, amazing ride. I mean, it's a great, great community, very creative, very spirited, very open, and we love it. We just love it. And there, you're right, there are more and more events popping up all over the world, which makes it really fun, too.
We've done, you know, steampunk events not only all across the U.S., from, you know, California to Maine to Massachusetts to Atlanta, you know, Midwest, but also in Canada, France, Germany, England. So, and there's a ton more events in other countries you haven't been to yet. So, yeah, there is really an explosion.
Wow, and yeah, that's what has just impressed me. I mean, how many bands, you guys started this in 2000, your music together in 2009,
well,
right?
Well, French Punk started in 2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing the music before we even knew about steampunk, and because we were doing other types of festivals, and yeah, so 2009 is when we kind of started. So we were one of the early bands in the steampunk community.
As I talk about how steampunk has exploded, and you guys have too, that's been a big, I mean, all bands go, people want to do well, they want to succeed, they want their music to be heard and for people to enjoy it everywhere. But have you been, you know, kind of excited or surprised or sort of just amazed at how fans have embraced you and love you so much?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, it's been an incredible community for us. The music in the steampunk community is very eclectic, because there's not really a specific type of music in steampunk, but there's a common thread.
Mm-hmm.
The bands that are within the community are very different one from the other. So it's I think really the thread of steampunk is the creativity, the warmth. We're very multicultural. You know, my coming from Europe and, you know, singing in French as well as in English. I think there's definitely a multicultural aspect to steampunk. And I think steampunks embrace that kind of thing, which is really cool. And I've always kind of maintained that, you know, the world can feel very cold. And there's a warmth about steampunk, about the creativity, the tactile nature of steampunk in its aesthetic. You know, it's a maker's mindset. All these things come together to form a very creative and spirited group that we really, really appreciate.
I think that describes it very well. You're right. There's no one genre, but it is eclectic. And I also find that all the genres, all the people are very supportive of one another, the creativity. And you're right. No one specific sound that you can call that the steampunk sound. There is, I'm an entertainment publicist, and one of my clients I worked with starting about 3 or 4 years ago when he first contacted me had some books that were set in the 1860s. And I said, you know, have you ever thought about looking over, not trying to tell you what to do, how to do your work, but you ever thought about looking over to the steampunk market? And that right then, that set him off, and his name is James Musgrave. And
right.
once the bug bit him, he was in all the way, and he's fantastic, and he's a great writer. And then he commissioned another duo, Valentine Wolf,
mm-hmm.
to do music for one of his projects. And then, of course, I know a guy here, David Tyberg of the Extraordinary Contraptions. I think
mm-hmm.
I first learned about the music scene when my nephew years ago wanted me to watch Steam Powered Giraffe.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when I started checking all this out, and then discovered, you know, you guys, and I was like, wow. Now, Samantha, tell me, you said you're from Europe. And Scott,
yes.
Where are you from?
Actually, I was born here in the U.S. I was born in Illinois, and basically grew up in Massachusetts, so, and then moved to New York City in the late 80s.
Okay, so... And so, Samantha, you're from Europe, or you're European.
Yeah, I was born in France, in Lyon, and I'm half French and half British, actually, and I grew up in England before coming to the U.S.
And so how did you two get together?
Well, at some point I moved to New York City, and I was actually pursuing something very different than what I'm doing now. I wasn't really on my true path. I was part of the corporate world and doing something that I just was against my grain. And I moved to New York City, and there's some things that happened in my life that actually got me to finally listen to that little inner voice and to actually start walking the creative path. And once I made that commitment to myself, I started having things come into my life that really paved that path to being a beautiful adventure. And one of those things is meeting Scott. Ironically, when I actually left the whole corporate thing, I had to get some temp jobs after a while to just pay the bills. And I got a temp job in the same place that Scott was working, and he was temping to fuel his music. And I was actually, he was my boss. and it kind of, there's a lot of information in there, but I'm trying to make it like short and simple. But so that's kind of started the whole adventure in 98 when we met in New York City. And I was had made that, like I said, made a commitment to art, and I was painting and sculpting, and he was doing his music. And then in 2005, it did take us 7 years. In 2005, we started playing music together. I have an extensive experience in dance, so I had been used to being on stage since the age of very, very young. And I had sort of walked away from that. And so when I met Scott, he got me back on stage, and it's been amazing.
And talk about I don't know what to say, synchronicity, destiny. That's just such a wonderful story. And you can just feel that there were divine forces out there pushing you two together to meet and create. And
yes.
Gives me a little chills there.
Yeah.
Well,
It does kind of feel like that, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because that's what I was listening. Because first of all, I thought, okay, and I kind of know how you met. I know the story, but the audience doesn't know. So I ask you, so the audience will know, and then I end up learning even more. And I thought, oh, this is great. This is a kind of a tingling, heartwarming story. We are talking
I never used to admit that we worked in an office because I have such a disdain for that environment. Not that there's anything wrong with office environments, but it wasn't right for me. So for years and years, we never owned up to that. But now we do, because it kind of, actually it slipped out on the radio, when we were talking on the radio a couple years ago. And you know how you can get very familiar in a radio interview and you forget there are people listening. And it just kind of came out. And and so that's how the truth came out.
I completely understand. You know, my husband, I met him. I went to hear a friend's band play in a little place in Atlanta. This was in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And my husband was the guitar player in the band. We started talking, and then, you know, we didn't start dating until, you know, a couple of years later. But I never, when people would say, how did you meet him? I never would say, oh, we met in a bar, because I just sound, I
right.
felt like that. But, yeah. And so I just can't say we met in a bar. And then finally, I we met through friends. And then finally I thought, well, why not? You know, he was in a bar playing, so yeah, I did the same thing. Okay, so to everyone listening to Madame Perry Salon Live tonight, we are talking with Frenchie and the Punk, steampunk superstars. And if you want to call in and ask a question or talk to them, the number is 646-716-9922. And that is a toll-free number in the continental U.S. Blog Talk Radio assures me. So 646-716-9922. And look forward to your calls, because they'll be happy to talk with you. And actually, I want to go ahead and get to some music. Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I'm going here. Say yes. All right. I got to tell you, I've been getting messages all day from people, you know, the little direct messages on Facebook saying, well, I love Dark Carnival, you know. I like Don't Fear the Rabbit. I like this. I go, okay, well, you know, and it's exciting to know that there are people out there gearing up for this. You know, it just makes me feel
that's
good.
Awesome.
And, yeah, so may or may not have what you want to hear, but we do have Don't Fear the Rabbit.
Over here.
Yes, love it, love it, love it.
Thank you.
You know what? Here's something. You're welcome. This is something rather. Oh, thank you guys. This is something rather to use it. I've got people messaging in while the song is playing. Love that. Love that. One was maybe somebody you know, Jay Draper, sends in the the heart. Love.
Awesome.
Don't Fear the Rabbit.
Actually, you know, the what we were talking about before is kind of appropriate that you should play that song, because that song is the rabbit is a symbolism for vulnerability. And the song is basically about going to that place where you make yourself vulnerable, because that's a lot of times that's where our power is, and we can't be afraid of that. And that kind of it kind of ties into, you know, my path, as I was saying before, was not at all my true path, and it takes a lot of courage to do what you're meant to do in life and what really brings you joy. And it's a scary thing, because it does make us vulnerable. And it's something that we have to do, because that's I really feel very strongly it's our responsibility to do that, because when we make ourselves happy, we make a better world.
I totally agree. And by the way, Jay Draper, thank you for sending that message. You can call, and if you want to talk to Frenchie and the Punk, 646-716-9922. And you know what? When you say that, Frenchie, it's, I've had this belief lately, like my husband and I met, you know, he was a musician full time, and then we even gigged together a lot for years and traveled, and lately his job has kept him too busy to be able to do it. And I said, you know, we got to find a way, because I believe, you know, I'm no super educated person, but I believe that if you have a talent for something like this, whether you're a writer, musician, singer, artist, or anything that somebody can do and know that they do well, whether they're teaching or creating something, building, I think that if you've got that gift and you don't do it, I personally believe that a part of your soul starts to wither.
Absolutely. It's spirit-killing not to see that side of yourself. And even if it's not something you do full-time, you have to have it in your life, because you never know where it's going to lead you. And I actually do a panel about this at the steampunk conventions called Steampunk as Metaphor, because it's something that's very, very dear to my heart, is to really inspire or try to inspire and encourage people to bring those things in their lives that they are interested in and they're good at and they have a talent for. And not that it's the end product that you will be a professional musician or a professional writer, but when you bring those things that you love into your life, it will inform your next step into whatever it is that your next step is in life. And it's just a stepping stone, you know, and it's something I think people, when something is joyful to you and you love to do, you have to do it. It doesn't have to be full-time, but you have to have those things in your life.
Yeah, I think, and I think it was meant, you know, it was meant to be. And funny, we talk about the vulnerability, the rabbit is vulnerability or representing it. I think I'm the last person I must be the very last or next to the last person to have started listening to Carolyn Mace, which I've done this week. And then sometimes that's some of her themes is, if you know, she's the intuitive healer. And she talks about, you know, learning to be humble and be vulnerable to things, to open up. So, fascinating too. So tell us who is, God, I have so many questions to ask you guys. Who is the Bat Frog?
The Bat Frog.
What is the Bat Frog?
The Bat Frog kind of came about, basically I was kind of thinking about having a little logo, or I think Samantha sometimes calls it a mascot or something, but a logo for the band. And I always liked the Motorhead logo, which is like this kind of bug thing with horns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know that logo I'm talking about. So I always loved that, and I thought it would be fun to have something like that. And I knew that Samantha as a kid and still now loves bats. And when I was a kid, I loved frogs, and I thought it would be kind of funny to put them together and make, like, a mystical creature, basically. And I drew it and put them together and came up with the Bat Frog.
I like it. I like it. I could dig it. So, but you guys are both pretty good. You guys are both very active in animal rights as well, aren't you? Or animal or conservation?
We try to be, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We are big believers in protecting the environment and the protection of animals. And, yes, definitely a part of our, who we are. And we do express that as much as we can. And these are trying times for people who are advocates of environmental protection. But we have to keep
driving. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So we have to keep keep hopeful and do what we can in our own individual ways. I mean, we do little things, for example, the little things that anyone can do with recycling. We try to limit our use of plastic. I do a lot of sewing because I make little bats, finger puppet bats, but I also sew little pouches, which I put bamboo reusable utensils in that I sell at shows so that people maybe can use those instead of using the throwaway plastic utensils.
Which is great at outdoor festivals. When you get food at an outdoor festival, it's always like plastic utensils that you throw out, and it's more waste, and feel like they end up floating in the ocean. So with Samantha's idea to have the bamboo utensils, it's great. Really cool.
Yeah, so we can all do, these are little things, but we can all do them, and it amounts to a lot, I think. So we can all do our part.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. What is a bat frog habitat?
when Scott and I first met back in 98, I was living in a warehouse, actually. This is part of my commitment to doing the arts. I ended up living in a warehouse, which was a very raw space. But it was a space that allowed me to have an art studio. And we used to have shows there. And I did an installation, and I asked Scott if I could use some of his music for my installation there. And it was a very ethereal kind of feeling. It was a suspended body in a blue room. It was really, really cool. And the music he was doing at that time, after the punk band scene that he had just kind of stepped out of, he started doing some solo stuff and very ethereal guitar, beautiful music. And I had put that to one of my installations. And I love creating environments. And it's the Bat Frog Habitat kind of came out of that love of creating the environment. And I did one just recently. We worked on it together. And it's basically a tent that we created, like a cave-like atmosphere inside, and everything is handmade with fabric and very large leaves and bat frogs and light, kind of like avatarish type setting. And people go in and they sit for a few minutes, and it's just very calming and meditative, and it's basically creating an environment of where a bat frog would live.
And folks, if you go to their website, FrenchieandThePunk.com, you'll see they have a separate page for, actually, it leads you to a different website altogether, batfrogs.com, and photos and from the bat frog habitat, as well as information about it, how they created it, pictures of that, and comments that people said, testimonials, if I could read some, are very peaceful, like hopping into a scene from Pandora, the world from Avatar. And another person said, this was a great experience. I was not sure at all what to expect, and I felt like I was transported to another world. It was a beautiful, peaceful place to be, and I wish I was back there now, enchanting. I just think,
it's a nurturing environment. I mean, we believe too. I mean, when things are tough, and everyone goes through. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all going through something. And I think there's something about going to nature. When you go to nature, it's calming. It's hopeful. There's a reconnection there that I think can really help. And I kind of wanted to create that. And it makes sense. Like here, we have such tough winters. And when I did the installation in February at Glimmer Dark, which was a convention we did, another convention in New Jersey. And for people to be able to go into this environment and just have that sense of connection, even though it's all made of fabric, it's still, you feel like you're in a very botanical environment, and that natural connection is really cool.
Indeed. And I think it's also probably rather restorative to the soul.
Yeah.
Kind of makes your mind quiet down a little bit.
Exactly.
So you can hear, maybe you can hear your own soul sometimes speaking to you. Again, the number is 646-716-9922. I've got Frenchie and the Punk here. But right now, you know, I've been also very lucky to have some nice sponsors that help me keep the show going, so I have some cool people on. So I'm going to mute your mic for a moment so you can go get something to drink if you'd like and come back. It'll be about 2 minutes while I tell you about my very nice sponsors for tonight. If you were listening last night, you heard me talk about a couple of the new, well, one's a new sponsor and one's been here before. One is thetalentcast.com. Now, TalentCast is a podcast about recruiting, recruitment marketing, and employer brand. And if you need to attract, hire talent, this is what you need to be listening to. And here's the thing, it's not dull. I know you hear this and think, oh, God, I need to know this, but can I sit through this? You know, can I sit through a dull podcast? Let me tell you, this guy is not dull at all. Just go to now. Their Twitter is at the war for talent, and I've shared that on my Twitter for Madam Perry and for Jennifer Perry. But if you go to thetalentcast.com, let me tell you what you're going to see. Some of the titles of the different podcasts are things like Barbarians at the Gate, HR Hates Recruitment Marketing, Instagram for Recruiting, and I was listening to that one earlier today about using Instagram for recruiting. Because I use Instagram a lot for promoting the shows or sharing things with people. But James Ellis, who is the guy that puts together, who creator and announcer or the talent on the TalentCast, he's just got a way of talking and describing how to use things. It's not like he's being goofy, but he tells it in a way that's relatable. He gives you just the information you need. He lets you know that he knows what you're looking for and what you're concerned about, but he just gives it in such a nice presentation. He says, for a long time, Instagram was resigned to the nice-to-have category for recruiting, but there was just seemed to be, you know, a lack of knowledge to people trying to use it on exactly how to use it. Is it just a place for pretty pictures or what? But in the last 4 months, Instagram has been positioned as a big recruiting social channel. So he breaks down the whole situation there, the fact that it is the world's largest visual social channel competition, and how to use it effectively. So go to thetalentcast.com, and I've got links for them here, as well as on the on my Twitter and also on my Madam Perry's Salon page on Facebook. Also, Air Tickets for USA. Now, if you've paid attention about a month ago, actually, it's the night that we had Allison Arngrim, Little Nelly from Little House on the Prairie, when she was on, we were talking about Air Tickets for USA. This is a company. It's a website. Go to it. They're also on Twitter. They will give you air tickets in the U.S. So just domestic flights at big discounts, probably 30 to 50% off what you can find at a lot of major airlines. And right now, they have a sweepstakes where all you have to do is go to their website, and I've got the links to it here. Go to their website, listen to it there. I mean, sign up there, and you will be automatically entered to win a ticket anywhere in the U.S. for up to the cost of $500. In fact, they sent along a little sound bite about it.
I command to invade the Earth. Land your war, Chicago. Thank you.
During May and June, AirTicketsForUSA.com offers the chance to win a free flight worth up to $500. Fly more, pay less with AirTicketsForUSA.com.
And I don't know if you could hear the beginning of that. I couldn't hear, but it's yes, the people trying to find a way out of somewhere, and they need to get the tickets through Air Tickets for USA.com. But they're good people. They're going to want to get you there for a lot less money. So you'll have more money to spend when you get where you're going to. All right, back with Frenchie and the Punk here on Madame Perry's Salon. Guys, can I go ahead and just play some more music? All right. All right. So what do you want to hear? Oh, Latrain. Latrain by Frenchie and the Punk. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That was La Traine, Frenchie the Punk. Oh, I love it. Now are you going to tell me what it means, Frenchie?
Well, it's funny you should pick that song because that's another song that's about taking the troupe, because it's basically about a girl who sees a train go by her house every morning and every night, and she dreams about going to Paris, and she dreams about, you know, going to the big city, and, you know, I say New York. She dreams about going to New York, and she just watches that train, and she always hesitates, and she always puts it off and say, oh, I'll take that train someday, and then the train stops running. So she thinks she's lost her chance for living out, you know, what she wanted to do. But then she thinks, oh, no, I could always take the bus. So it's kind of like a cheeky little song about, you know, there's always a way. And, you know, to do what it is that you really want to in life. Actually, that's first songs that we wrote together. Because when we first started playing together, I was just doing percussion. As Scott was doing his instrumental, acoustic guitar instrumentals. And that was actually written in a hotel room in Kansas. And for the first album, for some reason, I guess maybe because French was my first language, all the songs that I was writing were written in French. The lyrics were always in French. So it took me a little while to go to English. But yeah. So, see, Scott was more lucky because he started music very, very early on, and he was playing out live at the age of like 13 when he was in the punk scene. I didn't have that luck of doing something that I wanted to very early.
Well, I have some comments from you, or for you, rather. One is from, I think I mentioned earlier that Kenneth W. Kane, the horror writer, was on recently with his new book, Embers. And he just messaged to say that he loves the song Dark Carnival.
And
he's a fan and just said, you know, you just sound, no questions, you just sound great. I love it. And I also and thank you very much, Kenneth. Also, David Hurley. Now, David Hurley, he's a poet and author. He's he has an online magazine, Subtlety, and that's Subtle and TEA, and Bookalage, which does a lot of book reviews. And David says, recently watched your videos for House of Cards and Dark Carnival. And you have another fan. So. And as respectfully as possible, I must say that Samantha is foxy as well as talented, and Scott has a cool look. And forgive me if I miss the information, but are you two a romantic couple? And regardless, how did you two decide to collaborate?
Well, thank you for the compliments. As we were saying before, we met in 98, and it was a very strong connection right off the bat. We don't actually, I guess we're not very couple-y out in public. We don't really, you know, make it that, like, oh, we're a couple playing music kind of thing. But, so we've been partners since 98, yep. And I guess why we decided to play music together is that it actually happened because of a certain show that Scott was doing in Connecticut. He was playing a solo show, and he was playing my favorite song called The Traveling Band of Gypsy Nomads at the time. And I had a few glasses of wine, and there was a tambourine on the edge of the stage. This was in a bar, and I just picked up this tambourine and just started dancing around, because as I was saying before, I had, you know, I've had a lot of dance experience. And I think at that moment, Scott was like, hang on a second. she can really hold a beat.
Yeah, it just seemed really great. She had really cool accents and stuff on drums, and it just seemed like at the time doing the solo thing would be much better as a duo. So that's kind of how it happened. It's very organic.
Well, that's good. So it's organic, which is much better than trying to make something work. I mean, it just felt right. It fit.
Yeah, totally.
It created its own energy.
Thanks to the couple glasses of wine.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit of help there, yeah. Which is funny, you know, and congratulations. I'm so glad you're a couple because you just seem just such wonderful people, and, you know, you're always glad to see the good people find each other. And not being very coupley out in public. Now, like I said, I've been married a long time, and my husband and I have gigged together, which I did not want to do. I never wanted to play in the same band with him or him and mine because I didn't want it to end up looking or being like the girlfriend in Spinal Tap or something. And then, you know, because it always somehow gets involved. Oh, she's my girlfriend's a manager, and then everything goes straight to hell. But when we began playing together, and we were doing a lot of old jazz and some Latin stuff and some blues. And so, you know, with that kind of music, you can pick up, you know, you change out musicians a lot because whoever is on your favorite list, A-list that's available, they might have another gig. And then we found out that we were, a couple of musicians said that we were the only married couple they would play with. So why is that? And they said, because all the other ones fight on stage.
Oh my God!
I can't imagine that. They said, "Yeah, they also said we swore we'd never work with married people again." Yeah, that's what I told them. I said, "Why would we fight on stage when we can do it all the way home?" No, we don't do that either. We didn't do that. you know, why were you off key? You know, but yeah, I thought that's kind of funny because how could you be that way and fight? It just doesn't seem to fit with the art. Mm. You know. But let's see, and I also have a question. Duffy Odom, who is usually on here with me as a co-host or talking to guests, and he can't call in tonight, but he says he's enjoying the show. I think he's got some questions he's going to send in. He wants to talk. He has some questions about Gypsy Nomads, but he hasn't given me the question yet. It could be coming any minute, Duffy. We'll be here. Also, and David Hurley said yeah, that's it. So he was saying he's a new fan. And now, Scott, you've got some separate projects going on. Actually, Scott Helland projects.
Yes.
Yeah. Give us a scoop, Scott.
Well, I have a brand new record out called Never End the Rocket Century, and it's all instrumental music, and it's, you know, the guitars are acoustic based, but and there's some beats in there. It's very driving, upbeat, instrumental stuff. There's a lot of influences in there. You know, when I was a kid, my parents listened to lots of gypsy jazz while I was listening to the Ramones in my room. So there's a lot of, you know, mix of stuff in, that went in the ears and comes out the hands for guitar riffs. But, yeah, so the new record came out a little while ago. I've been doing some solo shows in between French and Punk shows. And the new record, the title Never End the Rocket Century, is sort of based on two different Ramones records, one being Rocket to Russia and the other being End of the Century. And I called it that because it's basically about that time when I got into music way back then. That was really like such a creative explosion of music and punk and hardcore and the stuff I used to play. It was really inspiring. So basically it's about, you know, keeping that creative spirit alive, for me at least.
Oh, gosh. I love the title, too, Never End the Rocket Century. And did you ever see the Ramones live?
I did. I saw them several times, yep. I saw them when Dee Dee was still in the band, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was that? Do you remember?
Yep, that was in Amherst, Massachusetts at UMass. I think it was in 1984, three or four. It might have been earlier. It was one of the first concerts I ever saw.
Yeah, I think I saw them a little bit before that, and it was in Atlanta, and the opening act was The Runaways.
Wow, cool. That's great.
No, I know. It was great. I pity the kids that don't get to hear music like that. So, let's see. Okay. Also, I had a message earlier from a friend of yours who said they're going to be listening tonight. You may know him as DJ Dark Fang or James Breen.
Oh, yeah.
We
just saw him. We played a show out, another great steampunk event called the Wild Wild West Con out in Tucson, Arizona. we saw James out of that show. It was very helpful.
Yeah, that's a really fun show. That's it's such a what I love about these steampunk shows too. They all have their own personality and their own unique characteristics. And Wild Wild West Con is such a perfect example of that because it's literally in the Wild Wild West, and it's really really cool to be surrounded by that, you know, the cacti and the, you know, the Wild West town, and you know, it's great.
Oh yeah, and I promised him I was going to get there this year, and I didn't make it. It just didn't work out, but I do intend to go next year. He's been on here several times talking with guests, and he's such a great person. All right, well,
yeah.
Scott, can we hear yeah. Never End the Rocket Century?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that'd be a great song to play.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you in position?
We are.
I like it.
Great,
tell me, who were you? You said this was influenced from listening to like gypsy jazz, like, you know, what, like Django, something, and Ramones. What other punk artists do you like? Mr. Punk, Scott.
Yeah, well, I grew up on. I kind of grew up in the hardcore scenes of the early '80s. So a lot of the bands back then that I was really into, and I still like, are Black Flag, Fear, Discharge from the UK, DBH,
Negative Approach, The Bad Brains were a great DC punk band, Agnostic Front, The Cro-Mags, and also, you know, more like punk type bands like you mentioned, like the Ramones, and I always like Adam and the Ants and Susie and the Banshees. And mm-hmm. actually that particular song you just played, Never in the Rockin' Century, I always felt like it had a little bit of a Cure influence to that song. So,
oh yes, I hear it. It out, yeah.
Yeah. And also bands that bridge the gap between punk and metal like Motorhead.
Yeah. Recently we had on about a year ago, Cheetah Chrome of the Dead Boys.
Oh yeah, the Dead Boys, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And I was thinking when I listened to this, I kept thinking, especially with Cheetah's his most recent CD put out 2 years ago, which is East Side Story. I kept thinking, I was going, I'd like to hear Scott and Cheetah play.
That would
so,
be fun.
Do you
absolutely
know him?
Yeah. I've
okay.
met him in the city, but it was a long time ago, so I can't say that I really know him.
Okay.
But,
well,
I
you
know,
got Madam Perry for the hook
Sonic
up here.
I know very well. What?
Oh, Sonic, yeah. Okay, I have some comments here from Duffy Odom. He said, Gypsy Nomad seems so soft and Renaissance-like and started without many vocals. So how did you change when you became Frenchy and the punk? And he said also love everything you do and have done. Scott.
I guess Gypsy Nomad evolved from me doing solo instrumental music back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, where I was just doing acoustic instrumentals. And it basically evolved from that. Then when Samantha joined, we were just, you know, progressing and naturally writing different kinds of music when Samantha got in. So I think it changed a little bit because with the addition of vocals, some of the guitar riffs changed and some of the melodies changed. I think we just seem to get more upbeat and
Well, also when Scott was in the and when he left the punk scene and started doing solo, he picked up an acoustic guitar, and the raging punk that he was doing as a bass player, somehow, and I always marveled at this, when he picked up an acoustic guitar, it came out Celtic kind of Renaissance sounding, and like beautiful, and so that was a very interesting switch in a way, you know. And then when I came on, I guess I brought in kind of like a cabaret feel to the music, and the more and more we collaborated, I feel like he brought me back on stage where I had walked away from, you know, the stage stuff that I had been doing before, and I kind of brought him back more towards that punk feel where he had kind of left that when he was, you know, doing the more atmospheric and more Celtic and medieval type stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like bridging the gap between Johnny Ramone and Django Reinhardt. You know, those early influences that I had, you know, because both music is pretty upbeat. That gypsy jazz stuff is definitely upbeat and fast chord changes and stuff, and so is a lot of the punk stuff. So it's just like a natural mix, and it comes out more and more.
Yeah. And within now, Frenchy, what I'm also interested in what French artist influenced you most.
Well, I in my household, my mom loved to sing, and she used to listen to a lot of Edith Piaf, Nana Mascouri, or I don't know if I'm getting her name right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, it's been a while since I thought about this. I used to listen to a lot of Gainsbourg when I was in my 20s, and then of course my family, you know, Charles Navour and all those kind of you know, the more old time singers. But I came here to the States, you know, in my teenage years were in the States, so I wasn't really being that exposed to the French artists of that. Instead of, like, I remember, like, Patricia Cass, but she was, like, way, you know, that was quite a while ago, too. So I'm not so much up on the more modern artists. But I grew up with a lot of the French artists from back then. And also, I lived in Brazil for a year, so I was very influenced by the time that we spent in Brazil with the percussion and the samba kind of sound. I was always obsessed with drums, which is actually a part of our show. We do drumming instrumentals, and people kind of joke that it's like a mix between Taiko and Blue Man Group, but with just two people.
Like for two people, you guys... You guys create a lot for two people. Just amazing. If you want to see Frenchie and the Punk, let me tell you, you can see them just about all the time. You guys are on the road a lot. I noticed in this year alone, the dates I have for you are everything from February 4th through November 11th, 12th, and some of these are week-long events. Right now, let's see, this weekend you'll be in Waller, Massachusetts at the Watch City Steam Fest.
The Friday night, there's a soiree at the Charles Museum of Innovation, which is a really cool museum. Scott's going to be doing a solo set there. And then on Saturday, it's a free event in Waltham in the park, and we'll be playing there at 2:00. And there's a bunch of other acts there, as well as belly dancing. And, that's going to be a really cool show.
Yeah, belly dancing. That's love that too. You just create a whole world of your own. And let's see, the 26th and 28th of this month at the Clockwork Alchemy in San Jose.
Yes.
And
that's another.
You're going to be all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so say Washington, Massachusetts, New York, Illinois, Michigan, New York, Ohio, and you won't be here in my city until September 1st through 4th for Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And,
actually, we have we haven't announced that yet. I guess we're announcing it now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, that's good. We will be back at Dragon Con, so we're very excited about that. We love Dragon Con. It's
just
such a fun show.
Atlanta's a great town.
Yeah, it is. Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I think even, steampunk Boba Fett, John Strangeway, even moved here. And he was on the show a few months back. Sweetheart of a guy. Sorry about that. But, hey, some people do break some new music on here, so maybe. Thank you for that. Anyway, I apologize. So you can always see them. Go to the website, FrenchieandThePunk.com, also BatFrog.com. You'll get lost in there like I did, and ScottHelland.com. And I have all the information. Did I get all those right?
You did, yes. I think so, yep.
Yeah, BatFrog.
Yay.
Scott Helland, yep.
Yay. Okay, great. And thank you so much. Oh, yes, Duffy Elder sent in a picture. He also texted a picture of you two and said, sweet, huh? I said, yeah, they are. it's one where it's like you're standing in front of a wooden door and maybe an old gray house. Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Frenchie and the Punk.
I think that might have been taken at the Wawa WestCon in Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so, yeah, because, Frenchie, you've got your jeans rolled up to about mid-calf, and you've got brown boots.
Yeah.
And, Scott, you got on your black hat and kind of a sleeveless vest shirt.
Yep. That was in Arizona. Where we went horseback riding. That was Scott's first time on horseback.
Yeah.
What was that like, Scott?
Was it
like Sly Stallone and Rhinestone Cowboy?
Yeah.
Or
I don't know if it was like that. Yeah, no, it was actually pretty easy. We weren't galloping, so it was a slow trot, so it was pretty easy. Especially, looking out over the beautiful Arizona desert, it was awesome. My horse is named Elvis, too.
I'm telling you, I think you guys are living right. I really do. And I am just so proud and excited for your career and that you are in the business. You know, I tell people when they're confused, if they got some music or a book or whatever and they're not quite sure to put it out, I say, think of somebody that you really, really like, whose music or book you really love and you really cherish, has great meaning for you. Think about if they never published it. And see, think about where would the world be without Frenchie and the Punk, without Samantha and Scott, you know.
Well, we feel very blessed to do what we do, to be writing music and making art. It's the only kind of life that makes sense to us, and we are so grateful for those of you out there who enjoy what we do and support us. We really thank you for that.
And thank you, Jennifer, for doing these podcasts or blog talk radio stuff. It's great, you know, because we get to reach more friends and fans that way.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, because they're downloadable, no cost in perpetuity on iTunes and Stitcher. And it's like you've got steampunk, Frenchie and the Punk to go, really, you know, so you can just grab us all, me. You,
yep.
Anybody, but thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate that. You're quite welcome. So, guys, thank you for your sparkle, your steam, your style, and all that you bring to us. And I think instead of going out with my usual go-out song, I'm going to have to go out with, I think you know what, Don't Fear the Rabbit. I love you guys.